For years, Elizabeth Elliot has been pointing women to Jesus and challenging them to live a life characterized by love, good deeds, and devotion to God's Word. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Elizabeth reminds us that anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today about heaven. I want to read to you from the 21st chapter of Revelation, which is a description of heaven. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death." And then John tells us about his vision of seven angels, and I'm going to skip over that down to verse 22. "I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." I spoke yesterday about those who fear about their sins. And I want to make very clear again that heaven is not a place for good people. There wouldn't be anybody there, because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But we do know that as many as received Christ, to those God gives the power to become the children of God. It's faith. It's by grace that we are saved through faith. And that is not something that comes from ourselves. It is a gift from God. Are you willing to receive that gift? There's a hymn that says, "I am not skilled to understand what God hath willed, what God hath planned. I only know at his right hand stands one who is my Savior." The old gospel song that's sung at the end of every one of Billy Graham's campaigns, "Just as I am, without one plea but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot. To thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve. Because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. Do you believe? Do you want to go to heaven? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On the Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. If we place our hope in anything other than Jesus Christ, who is the rock of our salvation, we're in trouble, because all other ground is sinking sand. I have nothing to offer to God except myself, and myself is sinful. My good works, do you picture them as in a scales, and you're working your head off trying to outweigh your sins by your good works? I don't find that in the Bible. Let me read to you from 1 Peter 3, verses 18 through chapter 4, verse 8. This is what he says. If it is the will of God that you should suffer, it is really better to suffer unjustly than because you have deserved it. Remember that Christ the just suffered for us, the unjust, to bring us to God. That meant the death of his body, but he came to life again in the Spirit. It was in the Spirit that he went and preached to the imprisoned souls of those who had been disobedient in the days of Noah, the days of God's great patience during the period of the building of the ark, in which eventually only 8 souls were saved in the flood. And I cannot help pointing out what a perfect illustration this is of the way you have been admitted to the safety of the Christian ark by baptism, which means, of course, far more than the mere washing of a dirty body. It means the ability to face God with a clear conscience. For there is in every true baptism the virtue of Christ's rising from the dead. And he has now entered heaven and is at God's right hand with all angels, authorities, and powers subservient to him. Since Christ had to suffer physically for you, you must fortify yourselves with the same inner attitude that he must have had. You must realize that to be dead to sin inevitably means pain, and you should not therefore spend the rest of your time here on earth indulging your physical nature, but in doing the will of God. Our past life may have been good enough for pagan purposes, though it meant sensuality, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousals, and worshiping forbidden gods. Indeed, your former companions may think it very queer that you will no longer join with them in their riotous excesses, and accordingly they will say all sorts of unpleasant things about you. Don't worry. They are the ones who will have to explain their behavior before the one who is prepared to judge all men, whether living or dead. For that is why the dead also had the gospel preached to them, that it might judge the lives they lived as men and give them also the opportunity to share the eternal life of God in the Spirit. We are near the end of all things now, and you should therefore be calm, self-controlled men of prayer. Above everything else, be sure that you have real deep love for each other, remembering how love can cover a multitude of sins. A wonderful description of what we used to be and the hope that we now have because we are in Christ. And how are we to behave now? Does it thrill you to think that the end of all things is near, or does it scare you to death? Well, I hope it scares you a little bit if you don't know Jesus Christ. I hope you realize that he's coming back again. He has prepared a place for all of us, but only those who want it, only those who are ready, only those who receive Jesus Christ in faith and trust can take advantage of that wonderful place called heaven. We should be thinking about heaven every day. Am I doing my work today in such a way as to please him who is now in the process of preparing a place for me? Am I making choices on the basis of what is going to abide the fire, gold, silver, and precious stones, or on the basis of the things which will be consumed in a flash, wood, hay, and stubble? Which world do you live for? I sometimes have said Christians are people who have to stand on their heads in order to see things in their proper light. This world is so topsy-turvy. People have things so backwards, so confused, so crooked. We have to go back to the straight edge of Scripture to find out how crooked our thinking is. But Jesus has gone into heaven to prepare a place for us. And he says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will come again and receive you unto myself. It's my prayer today that those who are listening, who know Jesus Christ, will live daily more faithfully in the light of that eternity to which we are aiming. And those of you who don't know Jesus Christ, let me pray for you right now. Father, you know those who have faith in you. You know those whose faith is known only to you and to no one else. Lord, I bring to you especially those today who do not even believe that you exist or can't be very sure of it, or believing that you exist, have never thought of turning to you. I pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you will draw them to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.